watching him play with his trucks up here might be more exciting. I don't know. We'll see.
So I'd like us to keep in mind one central idea this morning as we kind of look at this passage from the gospel reading and some of our other scripture lessons today, that God is never limited by resources. He's not. Okay? Previously in this gospel reading, just before this account takes place, he pretty much takes a fish sandwich and feeds a stadium. Okay? Right? It's a miracle. He takes very limited resources and makes something amazing out of it. He takes this storm and he walks on it. And he takes a cross and he saves the world. He is never limited by resources. Like I mentioned to the young folks this morning, in many cases it's our faith and our obedience that are the limiting factors in God's ability to work in and through us. We say, well, I could never do that. You're right. But God working through you is amazing what can happen if we'll be obedient. So bear that in mind as we walk through this morning. So right after this miracle of the bread and the fish, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeds 5,000 men. Some people interpret that to mean that there may have been about 20,000 people there with all the women and children that were also gathered, since the scripture would have only have kept track of the men that were there. Sorry. But right after this miracle, he sends the crowd away, and he sends his disciples out across the Sea of Galilee. It's actually a big lake. He sends his friends across the lake, and there's going to be storm winds that are coming. Now, I've been told that a lot of times in the evenings there, the way that the weather just happens there, that there are winds that come off the mountains and really kick up the waters on there. Was the windstorm a surprise to Jesus? Probably not, right? I mean, it's Jesus, so not a surprise to him that it was coming. So he sent his disciples out across the lake knowing that the storm was coming. Interesting. So if we pause there for just a minute, we can go back and look in the books of Mark and John as well as in Matthew, and there's a similar account. John tells us that the boat was over 3 miles out from shore at this time. Now, I don't know if I've ever been 3 miles out on the water anywhere. Maybe some of you have, but that feels like a long ways to me. Certainly not swimming back, at least I'm not. And in Mark's gospel, we see that Jesus could actually see the disciples from where he sat praying on the mountainside. So Jesus is up there on the mountainside, and he's praying. And there's the disciples, 3 miles out on the water, getting kicked around by the wind and the waves and being battered by it all. The disciples had the boat, so there was only one way for Jesus to get to them. I wonder if Jesus was just slightly thinking, I'm going to blow their minds. I think he may have had a sense of humor, but I'm just going to walk out there on the water to them. Right? So Jesus walks out on the water. Another example of him having power over nature. And somehow this water holds him up. The water treated Jesus differently than it treated his disciples. The disciples were struggling to row across the lake, but Jesus walked on top of the waves. Remember when Jesus calmed the storm with the disciples in the boat? They yelled at him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? He's asleep in the back. I got this. Even when I'm asleep, I'm still the God of the universe. Relax. Peace be still. The whole thing is calm. They said, their response to that was, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I've seen some little lizard that can run across the top of the water. I don't know if you've ever seen that on these nature shows. I've forgotten what it's called, but it basically... What?
I think it's a basilisk.
What kind of lizard?
I think it's a basilisk.
A basilisk lizard? Okay, well... Anyways, this thing peels out and runs as fast as it can and scoots across the top of the water. I wonder what it would be like to walk on water. The closest I get is in January when I cut a hole in the water and jig. One disciple did want to know what it was like to walk on the water. You know, Mark says that it was so early in the morning that it was still dark out. And it kind of makes sense that the guys in the boat were afraid at first, because they're out in the storm and then all of a sudden here comes this guy walking on the water at 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine? They probably went like this. But as soon as they heard Jesus' voice, they recognized him. And Peter spoke back. Figures it was Peter. He's kind of a unique man in Scripture, if we look at him. He was, in many ways, the boldest of the disciples. He said the things that other people only thought. Sometimes that was good, and sometimes it got him in trouble. I don't know if any of you can identify with Peter. He was the kind of person who did the things that other people didn't really have the nerve to do. And Peter was just completely and utterly drawn to Jesus. Peter wanted to follow Jesus with his whole heart. But he still made mistakes. So Peter asks, "Lord, is it you? If it is, tell me to come out onto the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat. And he walks on the water towards Jesus. You know, we can think about this and maybe ask the question in our minds, why did Jesus invite Peter to come out to him and none of the other disciples? Peter's the one that asked, right? He's the one that said, "Lord, if it's you, call me out there." The other disciples may have wanted to walk out to Jesus, but none of them had the courage to ask. So Peter asked to come to Jesus, waited for Jesus to call him, and then he obeyed. So you think that you're more like Peter, ready to ask God to use you, or are you more like the other disciples who sat in the boat watching to see what on earth was going to happen with this crazy idiot that was stepping out of the boat into the storm, leaving a perfectly good boat. It's not sinking yet. To step out into the waves. The Bible says that it's right to ask God for opportunities. So before he stepped out, Peter said, "If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Peter wanted to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but he was looking for some proof. He was asking Jesus to suspend him in the waves so he would know for sure Jesus was God. Jesus didn't get angry at Peter, though. You know, he simply said, "Come." So Peter had to have enough faith to step out of the dry, maybe it wasn't dry, but the sturdy boat, in the dark, 3 o'clock in the morning, as the wind was whipping up the waves. And at first, Peter's eyes were fixed on Jesus. Peter didn't have to worry about the wind or the waves or any gasps from the other disciples in the boat, because he had the faith that Jesus would not let him sink. And while Peter was focused on Jesus, his faith was strong. He could see the power that Jesus held over all things, and he knew how much Jesus loved him and that Jesus would never let him down. The same is true for us. You know, our faith is much stronger when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus has power over all things. Is there anything that he cannot do? And in addition to having that amazing power and that amazing authority, Jesus also loves you with an amazing and undying love. He loves you enough to lay down his life for you. And when you know Jesus, you know that he is completely deserving of your trust. And when you keep your focus on his power and his love, your faith is strong. Peter sinks. I'm kind of glad he did. It gives me hope. Before long, Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. When Peter sees the wind, he's afraid. He begins to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me!" And right away, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. And then he says, "Your faith is so small. Why did you doubt me?" So when Peter looked at the wind and the waves and his situation, he realized that there was nothing he could do to handle this on his own strength and in his own power. He was standing on water, away from the boat, in a storm, because Jesus had called him out there. And he had been obedient, but now he was starting to think, these are pretty big waves. And I'm standing on water. Wait a minute. Now I'm in water up to my knees. Now I'm in water up to my neck. He began to doubt, maybe, perhaps, if Jesus was more powerful than that storm and than the wind and the waves that surrounded him. You know what the Bible says about doubt? People who doubt are like waves of the sea. The wind blows and tosses them around. It's in the book of James. What an interesting picture. Peter's doubt literally caused him to be tossed around in the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. So did anything change about Jesus that caused Peter to sink? Nothing. Jesus was still standing there. Nothing had changed about Jesus, the way that he was or what he was thinking. I don't think Jesus was standing there thinking, "I'm going to let him sink now." What changed then? Peter took his eyes off Jesus. That's what changed. Peter looked at the storm around him. He was overwhelmed by the things that were so much more powerful than he was. But Peter should have remembered that nothing is more powerful than Jesus. And while he was focused on Jesus, the things around him were not a threat to him. So wind and waves. In what way has Jesus called you to step out of the boat and to walk on the water for him? And what are the wind and the waves in your life that distract you? For many of us, wind and waves are finances. You know, I can't afford to do that. You know, if I do that thing that God's calling me to do, I won't be able to feed my family or have a retirement or whatever. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's concern over that. Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe you say, "Well, finances aren't an issue for me. My health is okay. But time-wise, I am just so stinking busy. I can't fit this into my life right now." Maybe that's true. You know, not everything that's good is the very best that God has for you in your life. But what is God specifically calling you to do? And is your time preventing you from taking that step of faith? Sometimes the people closest to us become wind and waves in our lives. Our family, our friends. You know, sometimes something can come flying in from left field that you never saw coming, and it takes your eyes off Christ because you're seeing this big wind and waves in your life. Maybe it's work. I can be guilty of that one. Now that my work is entirely on my phone, and I can be gotten a hold of anywhere, at any time, by anyone for the most part, except when I'm in Maine. Sometimes, you know, work can certainly step in and come in and ride in. Sometimes the wind and waves in our lives, "So I know God wants me to do this, but what are people going to think of me? You know, they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak." My organ professor in my graduate program was a man who wanted nothing to do with the Lord, and he told me that I was on the God squad. And I had organ lessons in the balcony of this big church, and every time I made a mistake, he would hurl a Bible off the balcony and say, "Chris, you're desecrating your scriptures. Stop making mistakes." And it was interesting what people think of you sometimes when they find out that you're a Christian. I didn't take it as persecution. I had a hard time
not laughing at his reaction because he was so over the top, it was almost comical. So remember, we started with God is never limited by resources. He takes fish and bread, fish sandwich, feeds a stadium full of people. He takes a storm and he walks across it. He takes a cross, an instrument of torture and death, and by it brings life and salvation to the world. He is never limited by resources. It's our faith and our obedience that are limiting factors for God to work in our lives. So before we judge Peter, though, okay, we have to remember that he was the only one of those disciples that was actually willing to even step out of the boat. Lots of us probably like to think about how Peter sank, but we don't think about the other disciples that maybe never even considered leaving the boat and thought that Peter was off his rocker. There goes Peter again. So when the disciples first saw Jesus walking on the water, he told them to be brave and not be afraid. And Peter may have had a mixture of faith and fear. I know that for me, that's the way it is, that I oftentimes will have a mixture of faith and fear. I think that describes us sometimes. We may start out with faith and we might begin to do something that we know God wants us to do, but we maybe will have faith that gives us a peace in a difficult time. But when we take our eyes off Jesus, we look at the scary situation around us. We doubt whether God actually has the power over that situation or if he cares enough to even help us. We might stop doing what God wants us to do, or we might be overwhelmed with fear. You know that kind of fear I'm talking about, that kind of makes you feel like there's a whirlwind in the pit of your stomach, the kind of fear that wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't stop thinking about it. I don't know if that ever happens to you. But here's the truth. Lots of situations that are way too big, way too scary, and way too powerful for us to handle. But there is not a thing in heaven, earth, and all of creation, in my life, in your life, in this church, in our country, in the world, that is too big for Jesus. Don't focus on the situation that you are in. Focus on the one who has the power over every situation. What a blessing. You think about it. The creator of the universe, who has power over all things, is crazy about you. He wants what is best for you and is able to do what is best for you. Not necessarily what we think is best for us, but what the Lord knows is. Maybe that gives us the confidence to step out of the boat and to do what it is he wants us to do without fear. I haven't met anybody this side of glory whose faith is perfect. If you do stumble, if you do have a doubt, like Peter did, talk to Jesus about it. Jesus never changes. He didn't change when Peter started to sink. He doesn't change with us. Just like Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed Peter to keep him safe, he is that close to you and to help you as well. There was some advice given to a young pastor by an elderly one. And he said, "Don't underestimate what God wants to do through you. He is capable of so much more than what people will trust him for." Sometimes we think about what is our legacy in life? What are we leaving behind? What mark have we made in this world? When we left Maine, we had the camper all hitched up to the truck. There were 4 kayaks shoved in the back, 4 bikes on there somehow, I don't even know, and like just so much stuff that we packed up. The babies were strapped into their car seats. We were just about ready to go. And Noah says, "Hang on, I want to go carve my initials in that stump over there." He wanted the leaves of Mark. Place where he had been was the last thing before he left. It got me thinking about the mark that maybe we think we might want to leave on this place before we leave it.
for eternity. And really the mark that we can leave that will last for eternity is the result of letting Jesus Christ leave his mark on us, and we leave his mark on the world. So God is never limited by resources. Right? He takes the fish sandwich and feeds the stadium. He takes the storm and he walks across it. And he takes a cross and he saves the world. In the name of Christ.